WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It's not that John Irving can't write short, dark, enigmatic modern novels for us to chew upon like crusts of dread. He did so early in his career. His first three novels altogether added up to 700 pages. The critics loved them, the public didn't. And then the fourth, The World According to Garp, all by itself weighed in at over 600 pages, and he's been a bestseller ever since. Nor is it that Garp, The Hotel New Hampshire, The Cider House Rules, or A Prayer for Owen Meany are any less 20th century intelligent for being so much more 19th century long-winded. The Cider House Rules, about orphans and abortion, was as smart as a novel can get. It's just that Irving decided to explain what he's doing while he does it, to tell the whole story and construe his own symbols as he moseys along. This 19th century spaciousness also allows him more room to be wickedly funny, even in the service of a somber purpose. Owen Meany, for instance, is a very little 11-year-old in New Hampshire in 1953. He won't get any bigger when he grows up to die, more or less because of Vietnam. He's an angel or a saint, one of the chosen, with a high-pitched scream of a voice, like Oscar in Gunter Grass's The Tin Drum. His story is told by his old friend John, a teacher of English literature to Toronto schoolgirls, a Nick Carraway to Owen's Midget Gatsby, who only believes in God because of Owen's sacrifice. Owen, you see, kills John's mother with a batted ball in a baseball game in 1953. From this awfulness, Owen goes on as the baby Jesus in a nativity pageant and the ghost of Christmas yet to come in an amateur staging of Dickens to dream the date of his own death and to seek to render himself worthy. You wouldn't think there'd be a lot of laughs in this material, and yet you laugh out loud at the nativity, even as it causes shivers. You slog along through very long chapters on Owen's prep school days to get to the bloody punchline. And because Owen's father quarries granite, you learn almost as much of rocks as Melville wanted you to know of whales, before figuring out the rock that's talked about is faith. A Prayer for Owen Meany takes religion very seriously indeed, from its beginnings in fetishism to its organization into sects to its subversive miracles. Against a universe of chance and luck, a universe up for grabs and made for television, it proposes something far more purposeful and fateful, quite as crushing as what we find in the novels of Thomas Hardy the characters are always discussing, or in the novels of Hawthorne, adulterous ministers, a sexy Hester they seem to live inside. See Irving wink at our scramble after meanings. Even Owen's high-pitched scream is a setup for a payoff. We are trapped in a nightmare movement, from the armless totem of the Indian sagamore to the armless dressmaker's dummy of the dead mother to the armless statue of Mary Magdalene to the armless Owen in the violent air, saving the children and losing himself in the spectacular basketball dunk shot he's been practicing with John most of his short life. John finds the father he didn't want and tricks that father into faith. Owen finds the God he knew was there, abandoned by America at war. The reader, perhaps more bullied than seduced, nevertheless finds Wonderment, a miracle of levitation, a bestseller with the best for sale.